So, I have... Let me shuffle through this a minute.
Look at this stack. Holy cow.
You guys know I'm a piler, don't you? I have, first of all, I'm going to bring you the resolution. This is resolution 18100343N. What it is it's the zone change for the Johnson zone change and minor subdivision that we did in zoning on the 2nd of October. So I just need you guys to sign this so I can record it. Okay. I have another resolution for you, and this one's a two-pager. This is the one, remember you guys approved the Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And we had the beautiful resolution. This is the ugly resolution that gets recorded. Right? Yeah. And then Billy talked to you a little bit earlier this morning about the work that we did for the Forest Service in Horse Creek area. And with that, we've amended the Schedule A agreement to include that area in the Schedule A agreement. Then that way the Forest Service can pay us for the work that we got. Yeah.
This is that washed out bridge?
Yep. Well, it's... Not the worst. It was cleaning up some culverts after the fire.
Oh,
yeah.
Trash Buck Baker's Corner.
Oh, okay.
I rolled up middle south.
So what's been added to the Schedule A is, sure, I'll tell you. Maybe I won't tell you. Maybe I don't know. I do know. Here we go. They added on the Upper Hoback Road because we did some work up there.
Okay.
And then we also did this. Is called South Hoback. Is at the
South
end of
Hoback.
Yeah. Is okay. What they call that area, and they're described by legal description on the Schedule A agreement.
Okay.
So, and the budget that they had for this project is. Like $3,000, $2,600. So it isn't a lot of money, but it's a little bit of money.
So we will need to adopt the changed.
We need to adopt the changed Schedule A, which I have two copies of that here for you. And then we have a modification to the grant agreement, which is the adoption or the amendment to the Schedule A is the budget. And the funding to pay for the repairs.
Okay.
And then we have just the adoption of the grant agreement modification.
Okay.
That changes the Schedule A and adds those two roads on. So, clears mud, huh?
Yep. So I'll need, we can do those in one motion.
Yep.
I need a motion to amend the Schedule A, adopt the amended Schedule A agreement, and to, what was the other one for?
No, there's to adopt the amendment to the Schedule A,
right,
and then to also adopt the modification to the grant agreement.
Modification to the grant.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we adopt the change to the Schedule A agreement and adopt the grant.
Modification
of the grant. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. It's a good thing we got you to keep us straight on that.
Well, who knows? Okay. So the red tags are you.
I sure did. Signed right over the top of that tag.
Way to go. Can you make that work now?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll make it work. I thought, oh, I wonder if I signed. Oh, yeah, I sure did. That's an ugly looking signature, but it's going to work.
It'll be fine. Okay, thanks for that. And I believe Billy has already submitted the billing for this, and we're set to go.
Okay.
So earlier it was mentioned that you wanted to send a letter to the governor to thank him about for the White Pine Tower work that he did. I prepared a letter for you, and it's not near as eloquent as the letter that Chad prepared for you to do. Mine's pretty short and sweet. It's got everybody's signature on it. Tell me which of these that you would prefer to send to the governor, and I'll make it. And I'll make it work.
All right. Well, Chad's version is quite eloquent. Can you just put our names on the bottom of that?
What I can do, if you guys are okay, I'll stamp you guys all on, because this is going to get emailed anyway. It's not going to be going hard copy anyplace.
Why don't you do that?
I can do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. He's far more eloquent than I am. I'm not. I'm like, thanks.
Yours is good, too. Send them both.
Well, I think he's already got the thanks.
Yeah, I think so. Well, go ahead. They can read while you talk.
Okay. I had expected, before we finish today, I would like to go check in my office when we get to take a break. We are supposed to have an MOU from the Conservation District concerning the remodel. We were going to make an MOU with them.
Okay.
And I think they were going to ship that over this morning because they met last night.
Okay.
So I want to take a look at that and see if that's something.
Okay.
Just as a little update, probably to let you know that we are continuing to work on sources of funding and different things like that pertaining to the Roosevelt Fire. I visited with Guy Cameron last week about the things that they're working on.
Right.
I believe that they're going to have a team here in the next couple weeks to go over the work that they did. They did some assessment for SBA, like right off the bat, as soon as they were able to get into the subdivision. Janice and her crew have finished their work on the ground, and now they have tons of data entry to do, but they've done their work on for the tax assessment part of all of that. We did another thing that we did is we did hire aerographics to go in and fly the fire area. Aerographics is the folks that did the aerial for our GIS this summer, so we have brand new aerial for this summer for the county. We hired him back to come in and do just the fire area for the purposes of assessment, but as well as for erosion planning and for some of these other agencies. And they flew on Wednesday, so the flight's all done. They've just got to put the stuff together.
An executive decision I made. So
we had an opportunity. They shot us a contract really fast. And we'll have that
contract on.
$17,000. But we have money budgeted in the GIS budget for the pictometry. Mm-hmm. And we did only half of the pictometry, so we've got funding available to cover.
Still had money in that account.
Yeah, so we've got money to pay for that. I also have some folks that are willing, and we'll see how that all works, that when I talk to conservation, they're willing to partner.
Okay.
So
Matt,
we may be able
comment?
To get.
Well, you received a letter from a constituent and responded to them very well. And my question is are we going to have a gathering to put together all this information for these people, where they can go, or do they already know where they can and can't go to receive help because of the fire?
All right. Having this information at their fingertips. So Guy Cameron has already worked on a website that we can put a link on our website for these folks to go to and get any information from Homeland Security. We could certainly entertain any other type of information dissemination that we feel necessary at this time. I guess this is just as good a time as any. I talked with Guy Cameron last week also, and a lot of these grant zero interest loan things are about 30 to 60 days out. So their Office of Homeland Security is working feverishly on getting these things organized so that the folks that were affected by this fire can have either grant and or zero interest loan capabilities. The grants, of course, we talked about earlier, are a county match. So it would be a 25% county match. And I told Mr. Cameron, Director Cameron, I asked him if he would let me know well in advance so that we could discuss it at an open public meeting when these grants are available and if it requires a 25% grant match from the county, that we could vote on that and talk about that in a public meeting. So that information is still forthcoming.
Well, and they're coming, like you said, they're coming back. And I think a lot of these things, they're finding out that a lot of stuff we're not going to qualify for because
right.
we don't have the numbers, and
right.
we've known that.
And
but there's other, you know,
right.
That's the low-hanging fruit where it's
I keep also let Mr. Cameron, Director Cameron, know that I felt that there would be no reason why the county would not give a match on any type of a grant application like that. But we had to discuss it amongst ourselves, and then we had to make a decision in public.
Mr. Chairman, these grants that you're referencing, these are for property damage, I suppose, not other problems associated with fire like erosion and watershed management.
That it's more the erosion, it's more the damage mitigation.
Because I guess the question had been brought up in the past was, are some of these things time sensitive when you have to apply? And if that's the case, the time will lapse before they really know what the problem is after the runoff next spring.
Right. Well, there's that $400,000 plus in that FMAG,
mm-hmm.
if you remember the explanation
right.
of that. And that has been made available. So, you know, once that's made available, it's not going to go away. Director Cameron also told me that there's $20,000 within that FMAG that actually could be used to help the special district write grants. And that $20,000 doesn't require a match. That just comes straight out of that FMAG money. So as far as time-sensitive things, I don't believe that there are.
Okay.
It's time-sensitive in that it's taking time to get them
sure.
out
yeah.
and get them up and get it running. So
so if they apply next May, it's not going to be a problem.
Right. Shouldn't be. Now, Director Cameron is supposedly in close contact with Jim Mitchell. I don't know. We haven't received a report from Jim Mitchell yet either.
Right.
Which we probably should have.
So, Mr. Chairman, another thing that's happened as well is the County Assessor's Office has posted up on our web page information about what they're doing, that they've gone out and they're looking at the properties. Then they're going to contact those owners to compare you know, what they saw and what the homeowners, you know and makes it, you know, so there'll be ongoing conversation from the county with those people. But as far as, you know, other things that come to us, we keep hearing of things. The Conservation District, I think, is really working with people about this whole erosion situation. They've got some funding available. There's some funding through the ag community maybe out there. So it's different things than you know, going in and building people's houses. Yeah. It's not going to be that.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be infrastructure. It's going to be you know, FMAG money is for firefighting basically, and some of the rehab that's associated with that, but that's not going to be money that can be recovered by the Forest Service. It can be recovered by the county. You know, so there's a lot of stuff that's still out there. But I think the main thing is to find out really what, you know, what the deal's going to be as far as Hoback Ranches is concerned, and what's the deal's going to be for them for the winter and those permanent residents and all of that kind of thing, because next spring's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's going to be really tough.
Director Cameron mentioned at our meeting that we had previously also that the first line of attack is with the insurance companies.
Yeah.
Because these grants are very cautious of any kind of double dipping, if you will. So.
Well, and that's the issue that we're running up against with the Kismet Tower.
Right.
Is that we've got to work through our insurance company and see what's going to happen there and what kind of coverage we have, because
right.
We've got the opportunity to go somewhere else for funding, but we got to make sure we're not double dipping.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
You know,
exactly.
And I think the main thing is that the county is doing everything it can possibly to get this information out, whether it be a website or whatever, so
right.
These people know where to go.
Yeah.
Because that's about as far as we can. That's
at this point.
All we can
yeah.
do at this point.
Well, and it's slow going.
Mary, would
yeah.
you double check with Director Cameron's office and make sure that they've got that website up?
So if you go to them, it's
yeah.
up.
It's up. Okay.
Yeah, and
can
it's
we
up.
We put a link on our website to that.
Yeah, and well, that and it's up on their website, but it's also there's information up on the state lands
okay.
Website, because I looked at that stuff yesterday.
If we
so
can.
It's those state agencies are popping up stuff specific to the Roosevelt fire.
Okay.
Fire.
If
so,
we can get something on our website that would just direct them to these other websites, that would help.
Okay.
I might mention, Mr. Chairman, the Conservation District will be more or less taking a lead, working with the Forest Service and BLM to address allotment boundary fences. Could likely the BLM fence that joins Hoback Ranches is likely a source of funding to help address that, as well as the need for, in those areas that were burned on Forest and BLM,
mm-hmm.
they'll have to find a different place for those livestock to go another year because of the fire, and working to find some possibly vacant forest allotments. The Forest Service has already mentioned there's AUMs available on the Upper Green, although if I was a permittee, I'd be a little hesitant to send my cows to the wolves and bears to get away from the fire. So I don't know how
there is
how willing people will be to do that. But
right.
but they are, the regional office has been contacted, and they are looking for additional source of funding as we speak. But as in the Fontenelle fire, the Conservation District with Mike will be kind of playing a lead role in that. Just ongoing.
So we do continue to do what we can as fast as we can within our power to do so. Commissioner Noble has an appointment. He needs to be at a doctor's appointment, so anytime you need to leave, go ahead.
Okay, I'll make it another minute or so.
Okay.
Thank you, Andy.
So, Mr. Chairman, for our 11 o'clock, and we're a little bit late here, I had scheduled the filling of a vacancy on the Weed and Pest District Board.
Okay.
We received a resignation from Jake Greenwood, who was appointed to the board about a year and a half ago, I believe. And he's resigned from the Board of Directors for the Weed and Pest District. Weed and Pest District is appointed by this board. And it's a little more involved than our regular board appointments that we have since it's a district. They need to submit a petition that's prescribed by the state. It needs to be signed by 10 landowners and the applicant needs to be a qualified elector of the county. I have one petition that was submitted by Jennifer Reese. It was timely. It's notarized. It's signed by 10 property owners. She's a qualified elector. And I would suggest, or would.
And she is the only.
She's applicant. The only applicant that we have at this time. Just as another piece of information, we will have two vacancies, or we'll have two openings on that board come the 1st of January. So we'll go through this process again, and they get a special advertising for their board and that type of thing.
Will those two that are coming up, will they be filled on that first meeting, or will the?
They're appointed on the first meeting of January of this board.
First meeting of January.
Yeah.
Okay, by this board.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
I make a motion that we move forward with the vacant seat on the Weed and Pest Board with Jennifer Reese.
Second.
Has been moved and seconded that we fill the vacant seat on the Weed and Pest Board with Jennifer Reese. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have anything else. The only thing I have left is just vouchers.
With who?
So.
Excellent. Thank you, Mary.
I have to move that.
But I do believe Dennis is.
Yeah, Dennis, come on up. Let's do some planning and zoning.
Sure. I'll just squeeze in real quick.
Can you speak?
This wouldn't take, won't take very long. Falling back to some of the fire stuff through the Hoback Ranches and whatnot. I am starting to get applications in for rebuilding. I've got a couple of them. There's going to be some research looking into stuff, you know, checking on things as they get to this process. But I was wondering if the board wouldn't be amenable to waiving building permits, at least for like a 2-year time period, for the rebuilding of those structures and stuff in there. It's not a...
Yeah, I think if you just word it correctly, you know, specific to people who have sustained the fire damage in this area, time limit, I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Is there, you want me to put together your written proposal?
Well, or? I'm just saying that you don't.
What I would like to see is for the people that are rebuilding houses and outbuildings,
yep,
within the Hoback Ranches, and I would like to waive the permit fees for through 2019-2020.
Okay. All right.
Anybody that would submit applications through that time period.
Do you expect anybody to be trying to start this fall?
Yes.
Really?
There's two of them that are going to start
this
fall.
Not much time left.
No. And a lot of it is... They would like to, I guess, the way they're working through their insurance stuff, it's coming around fairly quick, and they want to try to get foundation in, possibly get stuff enclosed. There's another one that they're just trying to put a small cabin back on there to where it could be usable this winter. I think they're another person that's, you know, resides there. Yeah. So
do you see any opportunity as a follow-up to Shad's report to us this morning about recommendations to people about building materials that would make them more fire, as well as,
resistant.
You know, if I was thinking of rebuilding, I'd be saying, should I be building up here instead of down here where the fire burned all those houses down? Should I be looking at a metal roof? Should I be looking at things that... Maybe it's too late for that. Maybe it doesn't matter now for the next 50 years. I don't know.
It's probably pretty well cleared out for a lot of that. But
you would think so.
Definitely looking at those, if Shad had recommendations on those metal roofs, siding, different things that can happen. But fitting with all of that up there, you know, it's log homes, mountain type community stuff. They have, you know, their rigs and stuff for all that to fit in, but...
I mean,
think
the
anything
homeowners have requirements. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was going to be my request. Question was in their covenants, is you couldn't come in with a aluminum sided modular.
I don't believe so. No.
Okay.
Nothing at all. I think most everything up there has to be stick built. Siding, I'm sure there's different options, and nowadays there are different options,
mm-hmm,
to things. So
Boy, they better get to going.
And that would be personal preference, sure. I think, as to what everybody likes.
So, further discussion on this, gentlemen. We'll need to adopt this by motion.
Does he have something to present to us?
I don't, other than what I just mentioned. I can put something together when we have that for.
Do you anticipate?
We're not meeting yet until the 9th.
Yeah, and I will be gone on the 9th, but I can still have
something. I'm probably going to want to start building by then.
Yeah, I can still have something submitted.
I wonder if we need a resolution.
Yeah. We're going to need a.
Let's talk to Matt.
Let's talk to Matt on what we need.
Okay.
Because we can't just say, yeah, let's do it. We need to write something down.
At least we have something in the minutes.
We've got to have something in the minutes. We can go ahead and vote to support something like this and have that in the minutes. But.
Well, if we need to, this discussion right here will help. If I need to put together a formal resolution or something, I can do that.
Why don't you guys talk to Matt?
Okay. Give Dennis the go-ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Talk to Matt. Get something drafted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because as far as our end on the county's end, it's not a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
Really,
yeah.
One way or the other.
Right.
It's just a courtesy gesture that I think would go a long way.
It just needs to be done right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
That's all I have for today.
Okay.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Commissioner Rawhauser, do you want to start the vouchers and then start old business?
I feel privileged to get to sit next to the doctor.
Ooh. Wow.
Easy.
You feel better?
I do.
Hell, here in a couple of months, the seats are probably going to shift.
I think we'll probably stay the same with the addition of one person down there.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I think we'll just settle in.
Stay there. Stay right where you're at.
Yeah. Any old business, Mr. Rawhauser?
First of all, had a good discussion with Jay about he and Todd had talked about where the new barn was going to go, and I just told him that if there's anything I could do, keep me informed.
You better re-qualify that.
The roof.
We're not building a new barn.
We're not building a new barn. It's a roof. Okay. Where the roof is going to go.
Right.
And the other thing.
It's a shelter.
A shelter, yes. And
this
I
over
had,
the horse pens.
Yeah. Shelter over the horse pens.
Shelter over the pens, the portable pens. I had a good discussion with Pete yesterday about the WPLI and what other counties are doing, and told him that we had our hearing and we were in the process of making a recommendation. And I told him he asked me when I thought it would be done, and I said, I'm not so sure Thanksgiving is not out of the question, but I said I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
So, Mac, in regards to that, and I saw Pete in Phoenix. He was there in Phoenix at the WIR meeting, and I understood that we have potentially maybe two things to do. One is to make a WPLI recommendation to WCCA,
right?
And which could be as simple as we have none. We didn't get one. The WPLI process has failed in this county, and that takes care of that part of it. But then if we choose to make a recommendation to Liz Cheney, if it's not too late, to put into a bill, that would be a separate process from WPLI. Is that your understanding?
Well, yeah, I think so, but I think he would like to have something from us.
He would.
A recommendation.
WPLI recommendation. Either a recommendation to do something or a recommendation that, similar to Teton County, that we don't have a recommendation, and that's the end of the process.
Well, now, did Teton get theirs resolved?
No.
They were meeting.
They were still meeting again. They had another option, and I don't know where they went on
that. The WCCA newsletter yesterday sounded like they were done. Mary, have you heard?
Yeah, because I think they had a hearing maybe Tuesday.
They did. I think it was.
And did they make any kind of recommendation?
No.
Their recommendation is that they have no recommendation.
They have no recommendation, okay.
Because they were hit by the multiple use people.
Right.
Yeah.
And they didn't take any action.
Yeah. Well, the WPLI didn't make a recommendation.
That's right.
Right.
So I guess the question is do we want to make a recommendation as county commissioners and move on, or say we're not making one because our committee couldn't come up with a recommendation?
All right. Well, our committee came up with three options. They did not come up with a recommendation.
That's right.
I would be inclined to say, since they don't have a recommendation, we don't either on as far as to WCCA.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, do you gentlemen feel strongly one way or the other? Do you want to set it for further discussion at a further meeting?
Well, I myself personally, I would like to make a recommendation.
To WCCA?
To WCCA.
Okay.
Yes, as our county commissioners.
Okay, very good.
But I think that when we had the last meeting, we said that we were going to have it.
We would have it on the agenda.
We will. On the agenda.
Right.
To discuss in front of everybody,
yeah.
And then we would make a recommendation.
Okay.
And, that's the end of the got the end of the table talking.
Okay. We can sure schedule this for a future meeting.
I think we ought to.
Okay.
I mean, we said we would. Now, we can have that discussion.
We're going to. Just giving us the opportunity to pick the date.
My thought would be the second meeting in November.
Second meeting in November.
Okay. We'll make a note of that, Mary.
Sure.
What's your thought?
Hunting season's over for all general purposes,
well,
so it doesn't matter.
So that's November 20th.
Yeah. It would be better, I think, to do that than have it on our Friday meeting after the election.
Right.
Okay. Let's schedule that then. We will have our discussion and our decisions on a WCCA recommendation on the WPLI issue. Second meeting in November.
So Thanksgiving wasn't too far off.
No. So in the meantime, each of us need to decide what direction we want to go, and then we can have that discussion.
Sounds good.
Okay. Anything further, Commissioner Rawhauser?
No, that's all I have.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Cheyenne.
You gonna call?
Yes, I am. I cannot believe I didn't read that completely.
I can.
You feel better? I think you feel better.
Yes, I do.
Commissioner Burnett, do you have some old business?
Yeah, just want to hit the highlights briefly. I attended that Joint Labor Health and Social Services Committee meeting in Casper on the 4th and the 5th. There were several items of interest there. The first of which had to do with Medicare reimbursement rate effects on providers in Wyoming. And some of the useful, well, interesting information from that discussion was that statewide, 24% of the health care in Wyoming goes across the border, which is almost 25 Of course, 25%.
Okay.
They further went on to talk about Medicare reimbursement for hospital care, and Wyoming is at the very low end of what we get for Medicare reimbursement for hospital care. In fact, there was a lot of discussion on the part of the committee who actually felt like Wyoming was being discriminated against in terms of Medicare reimbursement for hospital care, with just the opposite being for higher or private pay. Private pay is on the high end of reimbursement. So I thought that was interesting. Another topic was a community services block grant that had to do with preventative services and how that is going. It's just to let you know, the joint committee comment was that they have faith in the county commissioners to figure things out at a local level. And so they think we're doing a good job. let's see. The other thing with regards to hospitals, and they talked a number of things about mental health care, substance abuse, youth treatment, opioid crisis, useful, interesting information. But one of the things that I found a little bit concerning was Eric Boley, who's the president of the Wyoming Hospital Association, made a testimony statement to the committee that he is currently involved with six hospitals in Wyoming that are spending $1.8 million per quarter on traveling nurses because there's such a shortage, a workforce shortage. So there, it was just, it just shows some of the common problems and situations across Wyoming with regards to health care.
That's $1.8 million statewide. Per quarter?
Per quarter, just with six hospitals that he was involved with, just with six hospitals, because hospitals, this discussion came up, of course, with their consideration of the veterans' home that they want to put in either Cody, Casper, or Sheridan, and they're not able to come up with adequate personnel for nursing and CNAs. But are there other hospitals in that? I don't know. I just made a note that he said there's currently six hospitals that he's dealing with that spend $1.8 million per quarter just on traveling nurses because they don't have the nurses to staff the hospitals.
Wow. That's quite the information there. Glad you attended that.
Yeah. That's all
right,
all I have.
Further?
No.
Commissioner Bowser.
Sometime after the last meeting, I went to the WIR board meeting, board of directors meeting in Phoenix, and I guess spent a lot of time with the state of Arizona, state forestry, most of an afternoon workshop, again talking about, in their case, they have four different forests in Arizona that have been working together in a collaborative effort now for several years to increase their active management. A lot of discussion about what they did to beef up their infrastructure in terms of sawmills, how to take care of the product that results. The take home from that, the biggest drawback now, and it would probably apply to Wyoming as well, is what do you do with the biomass?
Right.
All the junk.
Right.
And right now, they have in Arizona a power plant that runs off of wood, uses wood to power a power plant to generate electricity. And even though it works on one side of Arizona, it's not enough to begin to take care of the biomass. There was some talk about, you know, wood pellet facilities as being something to look at, conversion of junk wood to diesel fuel. They have the technology to do that, although looking at that in our case, in western Wyoming, it's probably not cost effective at this point.
But we had a lot of good discussion that related to us because of the same need to start actively managing our force in Wyoming, and particularly in the Bridger-Teton, because where we're more lacking than any place else. So that was the biggest thing from there.
So one of the biggest issues isn't necessarily the milling of the lumber, it's the getting rid of the biomass, left over.
If you have worthwhile timber, you can get people to come in, and if we had talked about the need for a minimum of a 20-year contract, because nobody is going to invest several million dollars
in a sawmill
on a five-year
right.
contract. Yeah. It will not happen.
Right.
And so there's a lot of things that will be taken on to the Forest Service and USDA and, you know, through NACO to try and improve that situation over time. I went to a meeting out at a tour out at the airport with an outfit called Environmental Services at the request of Elena Zempel with the Wyoming Business Council. Elena was there, and it looks like a really good prospect for a small business grant to the county, similar to what we did with the Boulder Community Center and the Daniel Community Center, only this would be different from the aspect that if we went forward with this, it would be a grant to the county who would then loan the money to this outfit to build a building, repay the loan, and then that would become a pool for another grant to another business somewhere else. Is the way that's intended to work. This outfit is, their expertise is building wash racks for the military. They make the washing facilities for airplanes, military trucks, all the kinds of stuff. They will build it right here, put it in a shipping container, put it on a semi, and it'll go all across the country. They don't feel that being 80 miles away from railroad is a limiting factor. Right now, they're employing 7 full-time people, and they look to beef that up, assuming they go forward with this, to probably 20 full-time, well-paid employees. And I told them, after I was impressed with their facility and what their plans are, and I told them the next step was I'll email all the commissioners their phone number, contact information. I think we all need to go out there on a tour. And Elena's well aware of it. I think they would like to move forward with the application to the Wyoming Business Council for a loan. Mary?
So, Mr. Chairman, this sounds like it's exactly the same as what we did with Callahan Cabinets.
It is.
It's the same
program. It's the same process, yes.
So we do, if I remember right, we have to do some public hearings.
We'd have to have public hearings.
Involved in their application process.
Went through that whole list of stuff.
Are we just the fiduciary agent then? They give us the money, we distribute it, but it is paid back to the Wyoming Business Council?
Paid back to the county. And the money stays in our county.
Okay.
Yeah. So they would make us...
I see.
The state would give us the money, we'd loan it to the people, and then we'd get to keep the payments.
Right.
Okay.
And then to loan
to the next project. Okay.
Is it a low interest or a no interest?
I think it's a grant to the county. I'm not sure about the interest rate on the loan to the business. There is a match that goes with that, that in some cases the county would be expected to meet, but in this case they say they will put up the match.
Do they own the property already?
They lease the property with an option. And they intend to buy it. So what would happen if this moves forward was the county would use the grant money, we would own their existing building, we would own the big shop building that they want the $1.7 million loan to build. And then they pay us back. We'd have to own it for 5 years, just like we did the
schools.
And then at the end of 5 years, they pay off the loan. They get the property back in their name.
Okay. Yeah, and then we get
the one thing encouraging, I did talk to Elena a little bit afterwards, and she said of all her experience over the years with these kinds of things, her words to me, this one is a no-brainer, and which is contrary to past experience we've had.
Yeah, so. I was going to bring that up, and I decided maybe I had not to.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll email you guys the contact information, and it would be probably convenient for them if we could go a couple people at a time.
Sure.
But they're more than willing to. It's really impressive what their plans are. And they've got contracts. They'll show you one map. They've got contracts all over the United States with military bases. And it's ironic that they chose Sublette County to make their headquarters. They like living here. Both these guys are firemen in Hoback Ranches, and they both live in Hoback Ranches.
That has a lot to do with it.
Mm. And they like the country. Okay. So
this would be a feather in our economic development cap.
This type of economic development is so much more secure than trying to beef up recreation or, you know, that sort of stuff. These are real jobs that would be permanent. Be a boon to the county.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Bousman. Anything further?
I had something else here. Okay, I've somehow got involved at the request of the BLM Washington office to ask Caleb Heiner and me to participate in a webinar called Collaborative Action and Dispute Resolution. And it's kind of a thing to, kind of a training webinar to BLM employees across the country about how to work with their local elected officials, that sort of thing. And so I talked to Caleb. I said, Caleb, what are we getting ourselves into? And he said, I'm not sure yet either. But we both agreed to go forward with it. So that's why I can't be at that meeting Max going to in Cheyenne.
I'm going to my lounge chair and listen.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Bowser. I have nothing to report.
Go back to two other things.
Go ahead.
With respect to that, one in respect to the meeting in Casper, there was some conversation there with Aaron Bowley, who's the president of the Wyoming Hospital Association, and Albert Summers, who was there, who's been in communication with Eric Bowling, who is the House chairman of that committee. And I think they are willing to go back and look at that state statute that was put into effect in July of 2016. There was a clause in there with respect to freestanding emergency departments, mm-hmm. that they had to June 30th of 2019, after which they would have to go through special licensing requirements with the Department of Health. And the indication was they would go back and look at that and maybe extend that time frame another 3 years.
Okay. Terrific.
At least have an opportunity.
Yeah.
The last thing that I just thought of, Barry, are we supposed to be getting these RFPs? Was a deadline on that by November 9th from CTC?
Yeah. So the time frame right now, last Friday, we were to be contacted by the RFP folks asking if they wanted to be included on the list of questions. They're allowed to have questions about the RFP. So that was last Friday. Today, the questions are supposed to be in. I haven't seen any questions at all. And then they're supposed to have their RFPs in by 4 o'clock on the 9th.
So we won't be able to...
You won't see them until the 20th.
And I'm just saying, we should have some kind of indication, do we have anything to move forward on or not?
Yeah, well, I think, I'm trying to think, the list that I gave to Michael last week, there were 7 responses, which doesn't mean much. It's like if they want to receive the questions, if there are questions. And some of those guys were equipment providers as opposed to being folks that would be involved in a partnership. So we've got some viable inquiries.
But what I'm saying is, with the RFP deadline in, we ought to know at least how much skin in the game is willing to be put by private industry, and if there's enough to even consider.
Yep.
So we should have that by...
Yeah. Okay. We'll know something.
Yeah. And you would think that we would have had one already saying we're willing to put X number of dollars into the pot. But
we haven't seen that.
Maybe it's...
Okay. Nothing.
And we have not submitted the application yet to EDA. And I don't know when that's going to happen. I've spent probably 4 hours thinking about that. So.
Anything further, Commissioner Burnett?
No, sir, that's it.
Thank you. All right. One quick question, Commissioner Bousman, is your responsibility with WIR, is it up at the end of the year? What have you got going on?
My vice president thing will be up in after the May meeting.
Okay, gotcha. So you'll still be involved with them through May.
Through May.
In their meetings, okay.
The WCCA will have to... appoint a WIR board member to replace Matt Avery from Campbell County.
Ah,
and
right.
Okay. I told Matt I would be willing to do that.
That's
up to the WCCA board.
Well, you'd be the logical choice because you've got so much intimate knowledge with that outfit.
Question, what is the WIR?
Pardon? Western Interstate Region of Counties. It's 15 Western States counties is what it amounts to.
You're members of NACO?
NACO.
And
National Association. National Association of Counties.
They're more or less a subsidiary of the National Association of Counties.
Is it counties or county officials?
Counties.
Counties.
Western Interstate Region of Counties.
NACO
stands for the National Association of County Officials, which is more than just commissioners, all county officials.
And Commissioner Bousman has been past president this year. And I publicly would like to thank Commissioner Bousman for his involvement in that, because not only does it affect our county, but it affects all counties, and we appreciate his hard work and efforts, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. That's time you don't get back, so we want to publicly thank Commissioner Bousman for his involvement.
Thank you, Andy.
Amen to that.
Yes.
One other thing we did do at our WIR board meeting, we spent about an hour on reviewing the Forest Service guidebook that we're putting out. It was a cooperative effort between NACO and the Forest Service. It looks pretty good. It's got room for improvement by moving some things around, but it's whether it's effective or not will depend on how the Forest Service chooses to implement it on their side. It talks about cooperating agency working with local governments, coordination with local plans. Mm-hmm. It talks about all the things that are required by statute. But the interesting thing in talking to our Forest Service NACO liaison, Randy Phillips, I asked him afterwards. I said, Randy, how is this going to become meaningful? And he said the new chief is going to put a directive out to all the regional foresters that whether or not you go by this guidebook is going to be part of your job evaluation. Mm-hmm. And there will be a section on job performance for every force soup to rate their rangers on how they're doing implementing the direction in this guidebook, which, man, I never, yeah. If that happens, wow, that...
If he can get her done.
The other interesting thing that I was told is that USDA Secretary of Agriculture Perdue has and will be directing the Forest Service in their upcoming forest plan updates to have an alternative that would address how can we best help in improving the support, the custom and culture and the economic base of the county that you're working in.
Hmm.
Which we've never seen anything like that before.
Right.
So
right.
Kind of encouraging.
That's awesome.
See what happens.
Terrific. My favorite statement, remain cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic is the word.
Right.
Been there too long to say it's going to happen.
That's right. Well, to quote another famous person, we appreciate your work on WIR because if you're not at the table,
you're on the menu.
You're on the menu.
Through the voting thing so I can vote and get an absentee ballot.
Oh, yeah.
I guess we'll just
go with something,
yeah.
Andy.
Oh, it goes right here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was wondering where the voucher was for that one.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
All right. We are going to adjourn. We're going to go to lunch, and we're not coming back.
Yay.
So we will be done for the day.
And it doesn't happen very often.
Make note that our next meeting is not on Tuesday. Tuesday, November 6th is voting day, election day, so our meeting will be on the Friday the 9th. You know what? I like the Friday thing. I do.
So I just wanted to say I did an extensive interview and feature on environmental in March.
Oh, did you?
Oh, all right. Good deal.
Last March or coming up? Because I missed it.
2018.
Okay. What was your impression?
I was really impressed because at that point they had changed their technology to do a water filtration system for the bases in Puerto Rico after the hurricane.
They showed us that.
And I was thinking something like that could be used in a couple of places here.
I mentioned the town of Pinedale water supply problems.
And, yeah, exactly.
And
money?
They said they would be in contact to see.